Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to the first of our stream sermon and teaching resources made available through St. Giles and St. George's Ashted. Firstly, can I thank you and assure you of our thoughts and prayers as a church, and I want to thank all the members of the church family for their incredible support in the last week. With all that's gone on, the team have worked very hard and been able to produce this service today. But from next week, we're looking to have live stream services, both formal and contemporary. Please go to the church website and find out all that's going on and the resources that will be updated daily. But this morning I want to speak to us all from Scripture. Given the circumstances, God's given me a message, I believe, for each one of us that is different to the teaching series, which is why I've paused it until next Sunday. I want to speak to each one of us. I'm speaking to you from St. Giles, where we've worshipped since 1115. And it's important that we continue to worship here, showing our faith in God. So would you join with me as we pray? Father, we thank you that you are love and sovereign and good. We pray, Lord, your presence and peace upon us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. And may you grow us, Lord, as your people of love, justice, mercy, and faith, as we hold all those up in our nation in our prayers. Amen. As we give thanks and try to support all those who are giving so much for the good of so many at this time. Like me, you may be struggling to process the tumultuous changes that are taking place in our lives. Let's be honest, we're all worried. Many are understandably more worried than others of us, but we're worried. It may feel as if we're in a small boat in the middle of a terrifying storm. A force 10 storm has suddenly arisen. All we can do is bail out the water in our boats as the waves threaten to overwhelm us. The wind and the waves are assailing us, and it's so hard to be able to steer a course, and so we're worried and fearful. In the midst of the turbulence and uncertainty of our remarkable and uncertain days, I want to speak this morning about our God and how we can live with his peace and to be channels of his peace in this time, for such a time as this. In the letter to the Christians in Philippi, the Apostle Paul encouraged followers of Jesus, that's you and me, to be people for whom the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guards our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. I want to speak to us about peace and how we can have the peace of God today, tomorrow, and in the time ahead. But that asks the question, what is the peace that Jesus Christ gives? Well, the English word peace that is translated from the Hebrew is the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom means so much more than the absence of conflict and stillness. Shalom means a deep, pervasive knowledge and experience of calmness, of rest and repose, even in the most trying of circumstances. Jesus, as we know from Scripture, was the embodiment of peace, a man of shalom. And it is this shalom that can only be received through a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, who then gives us the Spirit so that we can live and grow in this peace. To live in the flow of the Spirit who gives peace and live confidently in such uncertain times. The peace that the biblical writers write about and treasure so deeply meant that when they wrote letters to each other, they began with grace and peace. We have received God's grace. We have know his peace, and we want to share that grace and peace with you. Remarkable. What's more, in 2 Peter chapter 1 we read, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Not just may God's peace, his shalom, be extended to you, but may it be multiplied to others through you as you rest and live in God's shalom. This greeting from the early church was not a casual throwaway line like when we say, how are you doing? No. The people who followed the crucified and risen Messiah, who faced oppression, resistance, hostility, rejection, poverty, and even death, The first word that they spoke to each other in writing and in conversation was, "God's peace be with you." A reminder that God alone gives peace and invites you and me to receive that and live in it. How is this possible? Because Jesus was and is the man of peace. He said one time in the book of John, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives, but my peace. So do not be troubled, and do not let your hearts be afraid." The theological understanding of peace is that through faith in the crucified and risen Christ, we're restored to God. We're part of his family. As we think of our mothers and all those who have cared for us this Sunday, know that we are part of the family of God who loves us as a mother and as a father. So Christ gives us peace, and that peace of God's presence and family is with us. Well, that's the theological definition. I want to give you now a subsidiary definition that I think will be very helpful, which I want to work through and apply for us today. Comes from a man called Dallas Willard. He was a highly respected Christian philosopher, teacher, pastor, and author. He defines peace as this: the peace of Christ is the settled assurance that because of God's care and God's competence, the universe is a perfectly safe place for me to be. Let me say that again. The peace of Christ is the settled assurance that because of God's care and compassion and competence, the universe is a perfectly safe place for me to be. Although it may understandably not feel like that for you and so many others today, I believe that we can truly know and live with peace today. The writers of the New Testament did. For example, Paul wrote, "Who can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus?" And he then listed all kinds of truly terrible things that appeared to be peace-shattering that he'd experienced and was experiencing in his life. He talks about opposition, fear, torture, imprisonment, famine, distress, persecution, and death. All these things shatter the world's understanding of peace. Paul understands that, but then continues and concludes, "No, I am convinced that none of these, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." Do you see what Paul is saying? Paul is declaring his conviction that the universe is a perfectly safe place for him to be because of Jesus Christ's love and presence in his life and in our world. And then I want to read this verse and then apply it to our lives. Bear with me. Paul writes to the church in Colossae, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell richly in you. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and spiritual songs in God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. You may want to look that up as we think about it now together. Did you notice that Paul teaches that we are to let the peace, let the shalom of Christ rule in our hearts. Rule in our hearts. That choice of word rule is significant. Think back to the time of Paul. There were athletic games going on, the Olympic Games, the Isthmian Games. Every activity, every competitive event had an umpire to oversee the games and to be the arbiter of the final result. The umpire or the referee's decision was final. He gave the final ruling. Paul is applying that to the Christian journey, saying that Christ is not just the umpire who guides us and gives the final ruling, but he is the divine king whose word is absolute, whose power is unprecedented, and who is the king of love. So let the peace of Christ have the final word in our hearts and our lives. It ought to just rain. It ought just to be present, flowing out and through us, this peace, this shalom of God. When we live with this peace ruling our lives, it is transformative. Today, we're all thinking and giving thanks for our mother and for those who cared for us in our walk through life. Recognizing this, here's a short illustration about a mother and a son. A sleeping mother was awoken in the early hours of the morning by a sudden and violent thunderstorm. It was terrifying. She immediately thought of her young son, who was sleeping next door. So she got up out of bed straight away and rushed out to care for her son. As she got up, there was an amazing flash of lightning and a cacophony of thunder. And so she was fearful as to how her 8-year-old boy would be responding. As she got up and walked to his bedroom, she was startled to see that he was up, out of bed, greeted her, his mother, with a smile, and said this, "Mum, you'll never guess what. I was looking out the window at the storm, and God took my picture." It's a simple illustration, I know. The young boy was at peace because he was convinced that God was at work, and so the universe was perfectly safe for him to be present and part of. Today, in the storms of our days, we have come to fully embrace this wonderful truth that God is with us, that the universe is a safe place to be, and we can know God's peace and presence with us. Do you remember the story recorded in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 8 and Mark 4? Jesus and his disciples were in a small boat crossing the Lake Galilee. Suddenly, a violent and tremendous storm arose, perhaps force 11 on the Beaufort scale. The disciples, many of whom were experienced fishermen, were terrified and became frantic as the wind and waves jostled their tiny boats and as the waters threatened to overwhelm and drown them. The boat was in danger of sinking. They were paralyzed with fear. They were expecting to die. What do Matthew and Mark tell us about Jesus at this time? Where was he? He was in the boat with them. Jesus is with us in all the storms. And they tell us something more. What was Jesus doing in the boat? He was sleeping. Why is this recorded, I wonder? I believe the gospel writers want us to understand this, that Jesus was present and understood our lives. He knew and understands our emotions. The fact that he was sleeping is further evidence that the divine Son of God was indeed a human being and he needed to sleep. Although a terrifying storm was raging, Jesus was able to sleep because he lived in the settled assurance of his relationship with his Father in heaven and in the flow of the Holy Spirit. The universe was a safe place for him to be in. So he was able to continue the normal rhythm of his earthly life, even in the most trying of situations. So Jesus is sleeping. The water is overwhelming the boats. The disciples are terrified and fearful of drowning. Four of them were experienced fishermen. They were using all their skills and abilities to keep going. But finally, they recognized their limitations. And so they approached Jesus, woke him up and said, "Master, help us, save us." Let's look at the text together. Matthew chapter 8. We read this. Jesus stood up and spoke to the wind and waves. Notice what Jesus did. Jesus stood up. The boat was being tossed and turned. And yet the Son of God was able to stand upright and still in the chaos. How that gives us confidence and nurtures our faith. And then calmly, the text tells us, he said, "Peace, be still." The terrifying waves and wind abated. And stillness, peace, shalom was restored on the water. Do you see what Jesus does? Back to the terrified disciples in the boat. Did you notice that although the followers of Jesus had faith in him and went to him and asked for him to respond, they did not have the faith of Jesus. The text tells us, as the story concludes, that after Shalom was restored, I'm sure with love in his eyes, Jesus says to them in effect, "Why isn't your faith big enough to live with the peace that I have? Grow in this peace." The disciples had faith in Jesus. That's a good thing. But they yet did not have the depth and quality of his faith. And that's what Jesus wanted them and us to grow in. Because he offers it, he asks us to receive it as a gift. So how then practically can we help this peace of God grow in our lives today and in the days to come? Firstly, a short caveat. The peace of Christ is not the search for a comfortable life and existence. This is not what Jesus taught and experienced. The shalom of Jesus is something more, something deeper and more pervasive that enlarges and deepens and enriches the quality of our lives. And from Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, we can discern four spiritual practices for us to follow each day so that we can grow and live in this peace in the storms of our times. Firstly, look with me at Colossians chapter 4. He says this, "We are to think and abide in Christ." In a previous chapter, Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in your hearts richly." A word is a thought. A word is a thought expressed. So can I encourage you to choose some words from Jesus, some promises from God, some verses from Scripture, read them, reflect upon them, dwell on them, ask God by his Spirit to make them even more real in your mind and heart and life. Allow the word and so the presence of God to infuse you, to marinate you, so that you can soak in it and God's presence. And as you do, allow yourself to grow in the richness of God's presence and peace. How do we do that? Well, it's by spending time with God. Perhaps it's by going out on a walk and asking God to be with you, thanking God for what's going on around you, spending time with God's word, reflecting on a verse, praying over it, following the Lectio Divina, conducting the examen at the day. We'll be talking more about these practices in the weeks ahead. We need to think and rest in God's spoken word. For as we do, he makes his presence real and active in our lives. Provided we're looking for God, we're listening to God. Provided we're being attentive to God and responding to how we sense his Spirit speaking. Why? Because there's a promise attached to this. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3. God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is fixed or stayed on God. A second spiritual practice is related to this. It's the practice of expressing gratitude and joy. Gratitude and joy to God and to others. When we express our gratitude to God, it deepens our hearts and moves us away from thinking about ourselves to thinking about God. It puts us in a right relationship with God. And this helps to demonstrate our delight and trust in God. We are forced out of ourselves to recognize that we're part of a bigger family. We're part of a bigger story. The God of the universe is our God. And he invites us to live in that relationship and then also to share that gratitude and that love with others. So look for ways this week to express gratitude to God and gratitude to others that will really help us as we navigate the way ahead. And then thirdly, and this may be a bit of a surprise to you, a third spiritual practice to help us to grow and live in God's peace. It's this, singing. You know I've got a terrible voice, so I don't try not to sing in public, but I do sing in the privacy of my study. Have you noticed in the Bible how often characters burst into song? including Jesus and the disciples. Why do we sing? Well, singing strengthens the soul. It nurtures our relationship. It moves and changes us and draws us together with those around. I used to be a vicar outside Liverpool. And a couple of times a season, together with my son, we go to Anfield. And before a match would begin, 45,000 people would raise their scarves and they would sing together, "You'll Never Walk Alone." There were occasions on European nights when the fans sang, "You'll Never Walk Alone," that the hair on the back of my head stood up. When the crowd sang that song as an anthem, something happened in us and it helped to galvanize the team. That's why a group of Liverpool supporters are mobilizing now to re-record the song and make it available to people through the web. You see, singing psalms and Christian songs nurtures our faith and allows the reign of God to dwell more richly in others. So I encourage you to sing Christian songs, to hum those tunes, to listen to some songs on the radio, to listen to Spotify, YouTube, through your iPad, through your MP3 player if they still exist. Let's choose to listen to Christian songs because they nurture our soul. And that's why from today onwards we're looking to put lists of songs and in due course record some songs, Christian songs, to nourish our faith, so that the God's peace can rule in our hearts. And finally, the fourth spiritual practice to help us live in peace is this: to be people of prayer. Our current teaching series is designed to help us to grow and flourish in our prayer life. All I want to do today is refer you to that teaching and the teaching that's continuing. You'll find it online on the website. But I have found, as my prayer life deepens, so God's peace pervades more of my life and I live more fully and freely in the overflow of God's love. So let's cultivate prayer. And so to conclude, I want to thank you for watching this sermon. I want to thank you for checking out the daily updates on the church websites and reading and allowing the resources that we're offering to be a blessing and a help to you, so that we can love our neighbor and be a blessing to others. We're going to be developing our resources as our health and resources allow in the days ahead. And technology is enabling us to do that. We are so appreciative of technology, and particularly through this momentous week. There's technology that enables immediate and unlimited communication, through which our relationships and our sense of community is built up. Technology has been a great blessing. But sadly, this may be not true in our walk with God. You see, if we want to grow in God's peace and to live in his peace with him and with others, we need to be plugged in and connected with God. So as I close, can I encourage you to nurture and develop your relationship with God and with others, so that God's peace may rule and reign in our hearts. And we can help ourselves by doing this in four ways: by thinking and abiding in Christ, by expressing gratitude and giving to God and to others joyfully and winningly, by singing and listening to Christian songs and psalms, and by praying. As we do, hour by hour, day by day, the peace of Christ will reign more fully and freely in you and through you. Jesus is in the boat and is asking us to trust him, journey with him as he restores calmness in our souls, lives, and societies. Amen.